From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
We're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's no go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down in the dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. Unfortunately, the first announcement is not a great announcement. It's a very sad day in the environmental movement. David Brower has died. David Brower, a man applauded by conservationists around the world as a true environmental champion, died last Sunday night at his home in Berkeley, 88 years old. Brower was the first executive director of the Sierra Club, a position he held from 1952 through 1969. Earlier this year, Brower broke ranks with the Sierra Club over that group's endorsement of Vice President Al Gore in the presidential race. Brower said the club should have supported Green Party candidate Ralph Nader instead. After leaving the Sierra Club's directorship in 1969, Brower headed Friends of the Earth, a more radical conservation group. And in 1982, Brower founded the Earth Island Institute, an umbrella organization supporting and incubating innovative environmental projects around the world. Earth Island Institute, based in San Francisco, is the home of the Brower Fund and Brower Youth Awards. David Brower led campaigns to establish 9 new national parks and seashores, including Point Reyes, the North Cascades, and the Redwoods National Park, and helped gain passage of the Wilderness Act in 1964, which protects millions of acres of public lands in pristine condition. Perhaps Brower's best-known accomplishment was his success in the 1960s, in leading a Sierra Club campaign to block 2 hydroelectric dams proposed for the Grand Canyon. Brower took out full-page ads in the New York Times equating the proposal to flooding the Sistine Chapel. Brower was nominated 3 times for the Nobel Peace Prize and received numerous awards throughout his life, including 1998's Blue Planet Award. Unfortunately, David Brower, dead at 88, died of complications related to cancer. And I want to thank Kat Lazaroff for this information. Getting into announcements, there is a protest planned for Yosemite National Park in California Tuesday, the 14th of November. The Friends of Yosemite Valley, still mourning the death of our friend, mentor, lead activist, and Yosemite lover David Brower, are planning a major protest to coincide with Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt's feel-good event at the most scenic overlook in Yosemite National Park. Billed as Babbitt's last policy hurrah before leaving office, the Babbitt event will attempt to sell a $340 million plan, which would unleash a wave of new corporate development in Yosemite Valley and adjoining areas. Nothing could be more false than Secretary Babbitt's message that the corporate development plans which he and the Clinton administration have lined up against Yosemite are restoration. The Friends of Yosemite Valley are coordinating a major repudiation of this falsehood, Please help us get the word out. Tentative details include meeting at the Bridal Veil parking area at 9 a.m. next Tuesday, November 14th. Be prepared for a two-mile walk to the Tunnel View Overlook. The Secretary of Interior has communicated that the public and protesters are not welcome at the event, and media personnel formerly critical of the Valley Plan have not received invitations. We are strongly encouraging activists to bring enough courage to face possible arrest and the news media to bring cameras. We believe that some in the Sierra Club will join our protest. The Sierra Club Yosemite Committee's chair has expressed willingness to face arrest by crossing police lines if necessary, perhaps a measure of the seriousness of Secretary Babbitt's final ploy on the Yosemite political chessboard. This may be the most important political event Yosemite will host in our generation. If you please join us, the nonviolence code is obligatory. For more information, you'll need to send email to the following email address, FOYV@YosemiteValley.org. That's Friends of Yosemite Valley, FOYV@YosemiteValley.org. You can get background information at their webpage, www.YosemiteValley.org. It is wintertime in the Sierra Nevada, and we would love to host protesters in our homes. If you'd like a place to stay, call 209-379-9337. That phone number again, 209-379-9337. Once again, next Tuesday, the 14th of November, the gathering place is Bridal Veil parking area, 9 a.m. in the morning. The protest to take place at the Bruce Babbitt announcement area, which is the Tunnel View Overlook. Uncle Dennis encourages any and all who can make that event to please do so. The following day, November 15th, is the National Day of Action Against Staples Office Supply. Join the Coastal Rainforest Coalition, the Dogwood Alliance, Free the Planet, the National Forest Protection Alliance, Student Environmental Action Coalition, Rainforest Action Network, American Lands, Earth First, and others on November 1st for a launch of the Office Supply campaign targeting staples. Coming after the recent success of in moving the do-it-yourself and home-building industry campaigns that forced companies to adopt forest-friendly purchasing policies, we now want to target the office supply industry for their egregious use of endangered forests for paper and throwaway supplies. Corporate consumers of forest products are on the defensive, and their commitments to forest protection only further our legislative work to protect forests. Paper is clearly one of the worst uses of any forest, and the industry must shift to all recycled and tree-free papers immediately. It's not hard to do, folks. It is very practical. As the nation's largest office supply store, Staples needs to hear from the public that it is no longer acceptable to sell products made from virgin tree pulp. Join us at a day of action against the office supply industry. Hold a demonstration at your local Staples store. If you want more information, contact the Coastal Rainforest Coalition. Their email address, liz@coastalrainforest.org. That's liz@coastalrainforest.org. Coming up Thursday, November 16th, I believe this one is taking place. I wish they'd put the city on here, but it's probably Portland, Oregon. Here we go. Thursday, November 16th is the fifth anniversary of the Cascadia Forest Review slideshow and video on the Wild Willamette and Umpqua. Music by Dana Lyons of Cows with Guns fame. Starts at 7:30 p.m. at the SEIU Union Hall, 3536 Southeast 26th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. There is a suggested donation, but no one turned away for lack of funds. If you want more information, call 503-241-4879. That's 503-241-4879. Or go to www.CascadiaForestAlliance.org. Once again, the fifth anniversary Cascadia Forest Review, Thursday, November 16th, 7:30 p.m. at the SEIU Union Hall, 3536 Southeast 26th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Target the Gap on Buy Nothing Day. For those of you who are familiar with Buy Nothing Day, it's the day after Thanksgiving. This year it's November 24th. Time to get downtown to any of the corporate purchasing mega malls and join the Buy Nothing Day, but particularly Target the Gap in the San Francisco Bay Area. Many of activists participating in the various Gap campaigns, Save the Redwoods, Boycott the Gap Sweatshop campaign, Global Exchange, the Gap Visuals, the Vigil, the Stark, and everyone else, including Earth First, intend to demo against the Gap big time on Friday, November 24th. So if you want more information, contact 415-731-7924. That's 415-731-7924. Or visit a Gap store in your area. Current Gap actions that Uncle Dennis knows about. Houston, Texas. Contact David at 281-880-8802. Santa Barbara, California. Contact Scott at 805-898-9450. Asheville and Raleigh, North Carolina. Oh, by the way, that Santa Barbara date, November 4th. I don't understand that. Anyway, Asheville and Raleigh, North Carolina, they haven't established a date yet, but contact Olia at 828-771-3930. And please let us know what the Solidarity Gap action you are planning between now and the end of January. So Boycott the Gap, do it today. Also, the Boycott the Gap campaign is going to be doing another New York Times ad, and they're going to need some donations to help out with it. Their previous New York Times ads have been extremely effective in promoting the Gap boycott and bringing public pressure to bear on the Gap Fishers' deforestation of Mendocino and Sonoma counties. If you would like to help put the third ad in the newspaper, please send a check to Greenwood Watershed Association. That's the Greenwood Watershed Association, 252 Frederick Street in San Francisco, California, 94117. Once again, the address, 252 Frederick Street, San Francisco, California, 94117. And the Wilderness Society has announced the launch of a web-based campaign to raise awareness and garner support from Americans nationwide to protect the unique wilderness of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. If you'd like more information about oil drilling in the Arctic Refuge as proposed by one of the presidential campaign or campaigners, go to the following webpage, www.wilderness.org/arctic/index.htm. Once again, that webpage, www.wilderness.org/arctic/index.htm. The Arctic Refuge is the sacred homeland of the North American Gwich'in people and habitat for polar bears, caribou, millions of migratory birds. The fact that drilling in the Arctic Refuge has once again been inserted into the debate on America's energy policy underlines the urgent need for President Clinton to provide better protection for this crown jewel of American wilderness from development. Go to the website and then send your opinion to President Clinton. You can find his address, phone number, and everything else in the front of your phone book. Contact him. Tell him to protect, as wilderness, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge by declaring it a national monument. Let's have that done today. And there's some other national monuments President Clinton needs to declare before he leaves office. Voting is not enough. You need to contact the president. Tell him that you support national monument status for the following proposed areas. In addition to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, the Siskiyou Wild Rivers National Monument, the Cheyaha and Warrior Mountains National Monument in Alabama, the Shenandoah National Monument in Virginia, the Columbia Mountains National Monument proposal in Washington State, the Lewis and Clark National Monument along the Lewis and Clark Trail in Idaho, and the Owyhee-Brunel Canyonlands National Monument in the Southwest. So here's a number to call at the White House. John Podesta, P-O-D-E-S-T-A, White House Chief of Staff, OEOB, Washington, D.C., 20501. That's John Podesta, White House Chief of Staff, OEOB. I guess that's the building that's in. Old Executive Office Building, I guess. Washington, D.C., 20501. Here's a phone number, 202-456-6797. That's 202-456-6797. Or how about a couple of phone numbers? They're all 202-456. Here's the fax number, 7929. There you go. So get off a fax or a phone call today. Let's get some more areas of the United States protected. And here's one. Help save a Hawaiian island. Recently, President Clinton designated the Northwest Hawaiian Islands a marine protection area and called on the people of Hawaii to recommend management strategies that would protect this string of fragile coral reefs. The Northwest Hawaiian Islands are a remote group of almost completely uninhabited atolls and tiny islands stretching more than 1,000 miles northwest from the main Hawaiian Islands. Consensus was reached on a comprehensive management plan called the Malama Ikai Moana Oka Northwest Hawaiian Islands. The plan recognizes the rights of Hawaiians to access the area for subsistence fishing, to carry out traditional cultural practices, and also calls for public involvement to oversee strong protection and implementation. These islands are highly valued and extremely fragile world treasure that cannot tolerate extraction, mining, fishing, or invasive research. Even ecotourism is an unacceptable pressure on these fragile shoals and atolls. Your help is needed today. Timing is extremely critical. Please encourage the president to name this global wonder a national monument. So that's another one we need to get going there. Anyway, you can take action on this alert by going to the following web address, http://actionnetwork.org. That's actionnetwork.org. There's no triple W in this one. It's just actionnetwork.org, all one word there, /campaign/NWHI. Once again, the whole thing, http://actionnetwork.org/campaign/NWHI. And the coastal grizzly bear population in British Columbia is rapidly declining as a result of excessive sport hunting. The British Columbian government denies that sport hunting is adversely impacting coastal grizzly bears, yet they have never undertaken a credible study of grizzly bear populations. Grizzly bears have the lowest reproductive rate of any land mammal on the North American continent and are especially susceptible to the impacts of sport hunting. Grizzlies do not have the biological characteristics of a prey species. They reproduce slowly, and their populations recover slowly from human-induced mortality. Bear expert Dr. Brian Horeshji has stated that there should be 3 to 5 times the number of grizzlies on British Columbia's coast, and that this dramatic decline is due to hunting overkill and the continued destruction of grizzly habitat by clear-cut logging and the forestry industry. Your letters are needed now. Please write or send a fax. Let the British Columbian Premier, Dosanjh, that's D-O-S-A-N-J-H, know how important you think it is to place a moratorium on the sport hunting of grizzly bears, and that hunting overkill is having serious impacts on coastal grizzly populations. Here's the address. Premier Ujjal Dosan, that's U-J-J-A-L, and the last name D-O-S-A-N-J-H. That's Premier Ujjal Dosanjh, Legislative Buildings, Victoria, British Columbia, V8V1X4 Canada. Once again, Premier Ujjal Dosanjh, Legislative Buildings, Victoria, British Columbia, V8V1X4 Canada. Or you can send a fax to 250-387-0087. That's 250-387-0087. Or you could send him an email from the following webpage, www.gov.bc.ca/prem/feed. That's www.gov.bc.ca/prem/feed. And tell them Uncle Dennis sent you. Here's our tree sit update for this week. Once again, I'll remind you that there are other tree sits going on, but these are four that we know about. Eagle Creek in Oregon on the Mount Hood National Forest, a year and a half up, logging any minute. For more information, the Cascadia Forest Alliance, 503-241-4879, 503-241-4879. 4879. The Fall Creek Clark Timber Sale. They've been sitting in that area for 2.5 years, but the logging is currently being held up to look for endangered species in the area. North Winberry Tree Sit in the Willamette National Forest, 18 months on this tree sit also. And the Snog Tree Sit in the Umpqua National Forest, they've been up a couple of months. Logging is going on, so any or all of those tree sits could need help. Of course, the Ramsey Gulch Tree Sit down in California has celebrated its fourth month, and they're still going strong, getting ready for winter here in California. From West Yellowstone, we bring you the Buffalo Field Campaign update. The Montana Department of Livestock agents have arrived in West Yellowstone to harass buffalo. The campaign needs help. What can you do? Before the killing begins and before we need piles of letters to arrive on public officials' desks, get informed. They're putting together a 15 to 30 minute reader, and that'll be available here pretty soon. Let's see. It's available at wildrockies.org/buffalo/politico/feis.com.html. And of course, if you want more information about the Buffalo Field Campaign, they are at www.wildrockies.org/buffalo. Check them out and do support the Buffalo Field Campaign, Protecting Buffalo in West Yellowstone. And moving back to Oregon, recently the Roseburg, Oregon News Review ran a story entitled Fisheries Biologists Blamed for Accidental Logging of Old Growth Reserve. This is a story about the Umpqua National Forest accidental clear-cutting of 12 acres of old growth in a forest reserve, and Credit Service put the entire blame for the mistake on the same fish biologist who spoke out against a related timber snog last month, and Uncle Dennis brought you that information. In shifting the blame away from the Timber Department, the Forest Service claimed the fisheries biologist, quote, failed to enter it into the GIS data system, quote, unquote, when he discovered fish in Grave Creek in 1998. The computer system is not the issue. What the Forest didn't say is that the timber planters neglected to use the watershed analysis, which had all the information they needed, and it was available to them to use a full year and a half before the mistake happened. The fisheries biologist and other biologists in the district had completed a detailed analysis of the area that was to be logged. It was indexed, bound, and sitting in the Timber Department's office. The Northwest Forest Plan says that watershed analyses must be used, but the timber planters simply let it sit there for 18 months unread and then accidentally clear-cut 12 acres the watershed analysis identified as an old-growth reserve. When we all look at Grave Creek and all of any of us could see immediately the Forest Service made a mistake. You don't need a GIS system. If ordinary citizens can spot these mistakes, you would think the Forest Service Timber Management Department could spot them too. The Forest Service has not offered a public apology or any mitigation for the mistake. They simply told the newspaper they couldn't be punished. There are no legal penalties existing, they said, no matter how many mistakes they made. This is the third time in 5 years that environmentalists in Oregon have caught the district attempting to or succeeding in clear-cutting protected old-growth reserves. It is unknown how many total errors have occurred. If you'd like more information on Pine Strip and the clear-cut mistake, see www.umpqua-watersheds.org/unf/pinestrip.html. That's www.umpqua-watersheds.org/unf/pinestrip.html. And if you'd like to comment on this mistake, you can call the Umpqua National Forest at 541-672-6601. That's 541-672-6601. And let them know how you feel about mistakes on your Forest Service land. Well, we're going to take a little musical break here and let Uncle Dennis rest his vocal cords. And we're going to listen to a tune brought about by the birthday of Judy Berry. Unfortunately, she's passed on here, but we're going to listen to her singing about her fiddle on her birthday.
They said the reason they knew that the bomb was in the back seat where we could have seen it rather than hidden under my seat, as it actually was, is because they said that I had loaded my guitar case right on top of the bomb, and they said the guitar and the fiddle were both like right in the vicinity of the explosion. So lo and behold, we get back the pictures from the Oakland police. And here's the guitar. Now, it's certainly damaged, but not as if a bomb had been on top of it. And there's the fiddle, virtually intact, okay? And I want you to know, I've actually seen these things in the course of the case. We get to, like, look at the evidence, and it's actually really kind of sad. This was my childhood violin, and I opened the case, and it only had two cracks up the F-holes, and that's all. Whereas the guitar, which was in a cheap case, was kind of shattered. But at any rate, So in light of this, realizing that they took this fiddle, we wrote this song. Well, I was driving out of Oakland on a tour for Redwood Summer when a bomb went off inside my car, major bummer. They blamed me for the bomb. Almost took my life. But there's one last thing that they did. One last twist of the FBI stole my fiddle. The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my
sing along. The FBI stole my fiddle. And I want my fiddle back. The next day in the papers, although it made no sense, was a picture of my fiddle. They called it evidence. They took away my Birkenstocks. They took away my car. But when they took my fiddle, well, you know they went too far. The FBI stole my fiddle.
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 William Sessions stole my fiddle. And I want my fiddle back. My strings was fuses, my bow it was a lie, and down inside my fiddle hole I stashed my dynamite. So when I stroke my fuse string with my fiddle bow, you better run for cover, cause this fiddle might just blow. The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle.
The FBI stole my fiddle. Agent Richard Held is the man behind the show. He helped frame Leonard Peltier and jail Geronimo. He falsified the evidence. Life sentences, no bail. It's time to get them freed and let's put Richard Held in jail. The FBI stole my fiddle.
Richard Held stole my fiddle.
And I want my fiddle back.
Earth First Radio will be right back.